men who buy raggedy cars and then they paint them and they wash them. They polish them, put new shoes on them, put 20s on them, start loving it. Get up in the morning and sit in it. Because wherever you put your treasure, your heart will start beating out.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Abrahamic Covenant. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8.
This is why I'm really preaching hard this morning, because some of us have more confidence in email than we do in God. A text. You didn't get my text? You didn't respond. Text was made by man. So that's why I thank God that I was born in an analog age. Then saw the transition into digital. I was born before Windows 95. I was born when my mom and dad had an antenna or had a clothes hanger stuck in the top of a TV and you only had three or four channels. 2, 6, 9, and then maybe. Maybe you. Before 13. Every time you turn the channel, you had to get up and turn the TV and move that wire. I'm glad. Because I can appreciate a remote. If you were raised in the digital age, you just get upset about anything. It's not working. 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 We got to call a tech. We got to call a tech. Well, I thank God for modern day technology because I know where we came from. So God has made me. I'm stuck in Middle Earth. I'm suspended. I know where we came from and I can see the future. My job is to connect both generations. My job is to take the ones who never saw it and the ones who have it all and make sure that there's a connectedness between the two. Because some of you young people and those of you born after Windows 95, you have no patience for the elderly. As soon as you get your feelings hurt, you're done with everybody. But you don't have any root system. You can't even blow your nose. You don't know how to do anything without the other generation. But you act like you know everything. I'm preaching better than I said amen. We need a few interpreters who are in the Middle Earth that can bring both worlds together by faith. Thank you, God. I can speak to the ones that are in the blind and say you can make it. Don't consider your own body dead. I know you never would talk technology, but just get some instruction and you'll begin to function a little bit. You put more confidence in email than you do in God. Then I can say to the future generation, you make me so mad because you're so ungrateful. Everything you got came to you not because of you. It came to you because of God, but you give him no glory and you have no seed in the ground. You don't want to come to church because you're a millennial. You done graduated from college. You didn't do it on your own. Your mama and your daddy helped you. You stayed in the house way too long. They've always taken care of you. And now you got your degree and you don't need God. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. We got to get back to God. And I need to make sure that I get this message out because I got something to say. Whew. Whole segment I got to go back, pass. As I close this, I need to talk about the covenant connector. The covenant connector. Genesis 14, when Abraham heard that his relative Lot had been captive. God's going to bless you so much that you're going to be called on the rescue. Rescue others. I don't know, man. I'm preaching. The underdog is going to become the rescuer. Look at the word here. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men born in his own house. That means God blessed him so much, he had 318 trained men to fight. They went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his forces, attacked them, and routed them. He routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah. North of Damascus, verse 16, he recovered all the goods. Man, I'm preaching. You mean tell me God can make the underdog so powerful that everything the devil stole from you, you can recover? He recovered all the goods, brought back his relative Lot and his possessions. Notice Lot became so arrogant. I don't need to be with you no more. That's what he said to Abram. I don't need to be with you. I got herds. I got stuff. I got this. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom and he went down. But while he was there, while he was doing his thing, he got caught up. And it took the same man that he separated from to go and rescue him. Oh, God, man, God's going to help somebody. Look at this. The Bible says he brought back Lot, his possessions, together with the woman and the other people. He brought back his love too. Look at verse 17. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer, the king's ally with him. Notice he has a great feat. Chedorlaomer was a major king that had subdued all of the kingdoms in the region, but Abraham and the allied kings were able to defeat him. Great feat. But notice what happens. After Chedorlaomer is defeated, the king of Sodom came out to meet him. This is what's happening. Now, we're being invaded by forces that you don't know of. Right after your greatest accomplishment, you're going to start seeing the devil show up. Glory to God. The king of Sodom, under his kingdom rule, all kind of stuff was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He comes to greet Abraham too. And if you're not careful, you'll go into alliances with people that you shouldn't go in alliances with. You won't shake hands with the people of God, but you start shaking hands with people who come from Sodom. Because it happens after every victory. Everybody wants to be on the winning team. After the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of the kings, the Bible says the next phase, if you can overcome the king of Sodom, the king of Salem will show. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. After your greatest victory, sometimes you become the most vulnerable. Even to accolades. And Abraham received his son, his cousin, his nephew Lot back, recovered all of his possessions. And the Bible says Chedorlaomer was defeated. Then here comes the king of Sodom to join as an ally with the man. You have to negotiate that entity that's showing up in your life. It has authority, but it's not godly. You got to negotiate it right. If you do, here's the next phase. Verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He's now visited by an unusual man. His name is Melchizedek. And he brings in wine and he brings in bread. Sounds like communion to me. Sounds like communion. It's not kvasie or ganje. It's communion. It's a relationship to establish a covenant. You got to be able to see what are the substitutes for the real thing in my life. What have I settled for?
when God is trying to bring me fresh bread and wine. The wine represents Holy Spirit. The bread represents Christ and His Word. Here comes Melchizedek. Where did he come from? He's just the king of Salem. Look at the word. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High and blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abram. Huh. You didn't settle for Kedolema. You didn't settle with the king of Sodom. You love your nephew enough, even though your feelings were hurt, you still rescued him. So I'm going to bless you, Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Notice Abram's response. And Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. We're not even going to Moses with tithe. It starts with faith and love. Because you bless me, and I recognize you must be greater than all of the allied kings. You're greater than Kedolema. You're greater than the king of Sodom. You're greater with all that have allied with me to defeat these enemies. And you bless me, and I see your greatness. To you, I will give a tenth of everything I have. And here we see the introduction to the covenant connector. Glory, hallelujah. Luke chapter 12 and verse 34. For wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. I can check where your treasure goes and tell you where your heart beats. Good God from Zion. And if it's beating or if it's going after these other things, it would never settle on God. But you can turn your heart. There are men who buy raggedy cars and then they paint them and they wash them. They polish them, put new shoes on them, put 20s on them, start loving it. Get up in the morning and sit in it. Because wherever you put your treasure, your heart will start beating after it. And so if you lost some love for it, make sure her hair is done. Buy some new shoes, give her a purse, and let her strut. And if you start investing in her, the heart will start beating again. God. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Abraham turned his heart to God, so he gave a tenth to Melchizedek. And as I close, Hebrews 7. You got to see it, a lot of reading this morning. The Hebrew writer gives us an understanding of how powerful this is. This Melchizedek, verse 1, was king of Salem, a priest of God Most High. He met Abraham, returning from the defeat of the kings, and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness, talking about Melchizedek. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or the end of days, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Many believe that Jesus just didn't show up in the manger, but he showed up in the person of Melchizedek when he met Abraham and blessed him. Glory to God. He establishes a whole new priesthood that transitions. I'm going to talk about it at 11. The Mosaic Covenant and the priesthood of Aaron, which many church people go after today. That's why everybody want to wear their long dresses and everybody want to wear their big hats, because they're trying to fulfill the priesthood of Aaron. But you never heard of Melchizedek. Likened unto the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Verse 4, just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from their brother. But the tithe was not established with Levi. It was established with Abraham.
That is, their brothers, even though the brothers are descendants from Abraham, this man, however, did not trace his descendants from Levi. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Look at verse 7. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by him who had the promise. Without a doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In other words, if Abraham blessed him with the tithe because the man blessed Abraham, he's actually saying the man is greater than me. Because the one that is blessed is always greater. The one that is sending the blessing is greater than the one receiving the blessing. Look at verse 8. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, notice, who collect the tenth, paid tithe through Abraham. Notice the word, because when Melchizedek met him, Levi was still in the body of his ancestors. In other words, when Abraham gave a tenth, Levi was still in sperm form in the man's body. But God called him a giver. Here's the generational connector. Here's the covenant connector. When you bless God, that's why many of us don't feel it. That's why we don't have no feeling. That's why we don't love it like we should, because we don't understand the power in the treasury. But when you bless God, like you bless your cars, like you bless your idols, when you bless God, God looks in your loins and calls that hadn't developed blessed as well, and he will pull on their heart to be a giver. One of the reasons why we don't see young people in the church from the age 20, we're going after you, to 33. You know why? Because if you looked at your trace, you won't see that you've been a giver. You only receive. When you come to church, you got grandiose ideas. They're not with it. We need to move forward. But when I trace your giving, there's no seed in the ground. You want it all. $6,000-$8,000 in income tax, and you blow it. Not even a dime to God. But your earrings, your extensions, your cars, your houses, your land, and you sowed it all. But your heart doesn't beat for God because you haven't put nothing in the treasury. That's why as soon as you get hurt, you're done with it. That's why in your marriages, you can't handle it. Because the connector is not there. I want you young people to hear it. The next time you criticize church, check your gift. You'll find out that your mama and your daddy's been a giver. And they even put money in your hand for you to give. And you hold it back. You wait until you get to 7-Eleven and you buy candy. That's why you don't have a connector with God. You can't just teach them intellect. You can't just send them to college. You got to show them how to sow, so their heart will beat after God too. Because wherever your treasury is, and if you don't have a heart from God, write a $100 check and do it consistently. And your heart, like you used to do in the club, it'll start beating for it. Don't expect to have a heart for God when you can't sow a seed. Because the seed is the connector. Come on, put your hands together. I'm in the Word. Nobody after your money. This is after covenant connection. You can check with mama. Anytime we've gone through stuff, we sow a seed, God brings us out. I don't know how it happens. The lady got mad with me in the year 2000. I'm out of here. Why? Because I had to get you straight? I'm out of here. Whole family left. $3,500 of tithe gone. Bam.
And if you're not strong and you got staff, you'll start making accommodations for that. I'm sorry. Please come back. I'm crazy. You think you control me? That's what I said. You think you control me? Take it. But when I went in my office, I said, oh, Jesus. I was like Fred Sanford, ooh, coming home. Ooh. I got on my knees in my office and God spoke to me and said, did she call you or did I call you? I lifted up my hand. I said, you called me. Then stand on your feet. I stood up and I will provide for you. Same week, a lady out of Virginia sent us a check. One person for $3,000. Say, the Lord told me to write this check. And when I got that check in my hand, I said, God, what is this? He said, did I not say, if you take care of me, I will. The lady did not call you. I called you. And I will provide for you. By many or by few. Some of us are afraid to do for God what we're supposed to do because we're looking at people. But you got to learn how to trust in the Lord. And he will sustain you. And anytime you go through stuff, even if it's not financial, some confusion, if you sow a seed, maybe I should say it this way, if you sow a seed, let me say it my way, if you sow a seed, a lot of this stuff that's hanging on you will drop off of you. Because God will always bless those who sow. And when Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek, it was a lot of stuff, man. And he gave it to Melchizedek. He was blessed by God. And God mentions him in the New Testament for us to see as well. Where is the treasury? I challenge focus in the name of the Lord. Focus. The ones coming out of Pastor Dave's covering. After you come out, where is the seed? Been trained. You know what time it is. You know what's up. And all of a sudden, you back away when it's time for you to sow. There's a treasury that's been locked up, and God wants you to start filling in the gaps. You already know God. He took you through hell and high water, and you're now beating after the world. Come to church every 6 weeks to 2 months. Sometime a half a year. You know why? Because you've never given. Because once you start giving, wherever your treasure goes, your heart will be. And parents, check it out. The ones that need you the most, they don't give it all. He gave me this illumination. I'm going to preach it around the country and challenge the millennials to start sowing as well, just like your grandmama used to do. You can call her what you want. She'll pull it out of her bosom and write the check and give it to God. And she prayed for you. And that's why you got prosperity today, because she wrote those checks and she gave it to God. You don't even know why you're blessed. You say, I don't know how these blessings came. I know. My mama prayed for me. She had me on her mind. She took up some time and prayed for me. I'm so glad she prayed. She made a lot of mistakes, but she always says something for God. Where's the covenant connection? You fill this gap, you start seeing God fill the gap. I prophesy God is going to visit ages 20 to 33. You're going to see him come back into the house of God. And you're going to see them starting to really rise and do what God educated you. He gave you experience. You know what time it is. You can really help the church go along, but your attitude is off.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from the Abrahamic Covenant, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2203-2708. That's reference number 2203-2708.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today. Are you ready to belong, grow, connect, and serve? New members' classes are still in session, and you can complete your orientation lessons virtually. Email connect@truthreveal.org to get started. Abishai-inspired men join Bishop Clark and special guests live or in person for Men's Fellowship on Saturday, August 13th at 9 a.m. Ladies, mark your calendar for The View, the 2022 Awaken Women's Rally on Saturday, August 27th from 9 a.m. until noon. This is a free event. However, registration is encouraged. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app or visit the website for details. Women's Sunday School is still on every Sunday at 10 a.m., so make sure to join Pastor Sabrina in the sanctuary.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.